Welcome to Zero to Scale, an honest, transparent look at the day-to-day challenges two entrepreneurs face in their journey from zero to $20,000 per month and beyond. You'll hear their failures, results, and plans to reach their goals without the pipe dreams and humble brags. Now, here are your hosts, Justin McGill and Greg Hickman.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Zero to Scale. How'd the solo episode go last week, buddy?
It was definitely a different experience, but I think it went all right. How was your Japan trip?
It was awesome. Japan is super cool. We definitely did a lot in the, 8.5 days we were there. We walked, we were wearing our Apple Watches, and so it has like the activity tracker, and we were like tracking how many miles we were walking each day. And when I added it up, it was like just shy of 70 miles in like the 8.5 or not like the full 10 days that we were gone.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. But yeah, Japan is super cool. I highly recommend it for anyone that has not gone. The culture is, you know, super cool. The food is amazing, especially if you're, you know, if you love sushi and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I will give a shout out to Boutique Japan, boutiquejapan.com, who is the company that helped kind of coordinate our trip. And I mean, they freaking nailed it. I mean, from like the guides that we had for like the three guided experiences to the accommodations to like their documentation on like their favorite places and where to go during our free time. I mean, we went to these restaurants on their list, and like when we would come across people that like either A, spoke English, or in some cases the even the chef would ask us like, how the heck did you find out about this place? Like, and you know, cause like, this is like a gem and you know, not many people know about it. And like the way that the city is structured, you know, these restaurants are like down these crazy weird back streets and alleys and stuff. It's like, I don't know how you would find this without someone telling you about it. And you know, we kind of told them and they're like, oh, that's amazing. Like super cool. So yeah, the experience was awesome. I'm definitely glad to be back though. I'm still fighting the jet lag a little bit.
Really?
But yeah, hopefully that'll normalize next week.
All right, man. Well, let's jump into it. You got a tool?
Yeah, so ConvertFlow is my tool for the week. This company won Battle of the Apps at ICON, the Infusionsoft conference, earlier this year. And essentially what it does, it's a popover email capture. They have like a slide up, you know, thing as well. But what they do differently than like a Sumo Me or you know, Optin Monster or what, name your favorite pop-up email capture tool, they're able to layer in your Infusionsoft data. So obviously they won Battle of the Apps there. They integrate heavily with Infusionsoft. So you can essentially create on-site automation based on what you know about your visitors and the tags that they already have in Infusionsoft. So like if someone already opted into that EGOT, like that ebook, why am I going to do a pop-up again and show them the ebook? Like I'm going to show them the next stage of what I might want him to do and opt into. And I would know that because they're able to layer that in with the Infusionsoft data. So they kind of talk about how you can create like on-site funnels, so to speak, which I thought was really interesting. So you can customize all these settings as to like when the pop-up shows up, who it shows to, you know, the different variables as to like why one might show over another and the criteria that kind of powers that. And I just started diving into it. We added it to our payment plan page, and I'm starting to map out how I'm going to be using it further. But as I've just been kind of reading about it and like looking into like the tutorials, it seems like a pretty badass tool. So I'm excited to kind of dive into it. So that's mine.
Nice. Mine is Sigstr, Sigstr. And basically what it allows you to do is set up your whole team with email signatures. And I can go in and create like a new campaign, and it'll update all of the email signatures for all of our employees and everything. So it allows you to track like open rates and click-through rates and everything on like, you know, a banner image. You can put, you know, address, phone number, URL, all kinds of different things, your social media links and everything. But it's nice because it ensures that your team all has a standard, you know, like a uniform email signature. Right. But then at the same time allows me to see you know, what some of the statistics on click-through rates and everything are. So we can, it's pretty sweet. So yeah, it's a cool tool. We actually talked to them as well about integrating with them as part of our email editor. So, you know, we're going to have some ongoing discussions there. We'll see what happens. But yeah, they've been on my radar since, I want to say like last August when I initially saw them on Product Hunt, but they didn't have a Google Apps integration until, you know, just a couple of months ago. So it's been on my radar for, in particular, last couple of months. But yeah, they rolled out the Google Apps integration. We're now about to bring on a new hire. So wanted to, you know, just have all of our ducks in a row.
Nice.
Yeah, man. What about your failures for this past week?
Yeah, so I don't really have any because I didn't really have any plans.
Right.
You know, this week has pretty much been catch up for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think for me, really just one, which was I wanted to work more on the handbook and get that dialed in, but unfortunately did not spend any time on that. That said, I do have next week completely blocked off. I literally went through and just like no one can book a time with me next week. So I want to obviously work on that and set an agenda and do all kinds of things next week. But yeah, so that's a failure for me. What about your results then?
Yeah, so obviously from my check-in, you know, on the last episode, we're still at the same revenue. So we're at 22,944, so just shy of 23K. Like I kind of said, a lot of this week was catch up for me. I didn't really come into this week really having any concrete plans other than to really catch up. So things that happened, obviously the success was that while we were away, a prospect that we were talking to ended up signing on. So that was awesome. We really, you know, obviously just having a ton of fun in Japan, but from like a business standpoint, I mean, like the thing that I was concerned about was, you know, while I'm gone, like how's everything going to go? And I'd say I wasn't too stressed much at all. And kind of the system that I had created and that we've been leveraging between myself and my assistant on, you know, going managing my email and like what to escalate and when to escalate went really, really well. So I was pleased with that. We did have a Wi-Fi hotspot that we carried with us everywhere because free Wi-Fi is like not actually a thing in Japan. And so, and we needed Google Maps to get around. So like if we didn't have this Wi-Fi hotspot, like we would have been screwed the whole trip. So I was very thankful to have that. But at the same time, I was like, crap, like, is this going to make me, you know, check my email more often? So I made sure to turn off all of my notifications on my phone from Slack to email and, you know, just told myself I would check every once in a while, specifically at, like in the morning and at night. And, you know, that went really, really well. And actually, I haven't turned the notifications back on and I freaking love it. So all notifications, like I don't care what app, like unless my phone rings or I get a text message, like my phone makes zero notifications. And
mine, yeah, I have it set up. I don't even get calls, like notifications for text messages or calls. I mean, just it's on silent the whole time and it's been a game changer.
Yeah, so definitely going to continue that. And I would say for the most part that, you know, I think I really only opened my laptop twice. And one of the times was to just kind of update and send the final contract to that client, our new client that we had closed, which was the result of that higher revenue. So yeah, so I felt, you know, pretty good about just not being stressed and, you know, the team held it down, you know, as I kind of knew they would, but you know, it's nice to have gone through that now and know that I could potentially do it again, you know, assuming everything continues as it's going. So while I was there, I finished reading Deep Work, which I had been reading prior to leaving, and finished that book. And then I also read all of Simple Numbers, which I highly recommend if you want to get your finance game right. It's about kind of like business finances and all that stuff and how you should be looking at your finances as you're approaching 1 million in annual revenue and then beyond. And like, just like the types of reports you should be looking at every day and all this stuff. And they give you tons of resources that I'm actually going to be diving into next week. But really, for someone that like is not a numbers guy, it was a super easy read and really, really helpful on the kind of the stories that they tell throughout. I don't know, really resonated with me compared to other financial related books I've read. I also started reading Checklist Manifesto, which was recommended to me. I'm kind of like a quarter, maybe 20% into it. And really, really liking that as well. So another one that I'd recommend. Again, I said I only really checked email one or two times a day in the beginning, the day at night. So far this week, though, we've had two sales calls, two strategy calls with our clients. I have three proposals that I need to get back to clients today. And let's see, I published another blog post that while I was gone, which was detailing, or sorry, this earlier this week, which was detailing the 36 tools we use to run our productized service business and getting some good feedback on that one already. That was a fun post to put together. Annie, my assistant, met up with me at the co-working space I've been working at. And not only was it really the first time that we met in person, which was cool, but we talked through some of our kind of or the current challenges that we're facing in the business and how we're going to go about updating our packages and plans, and even some of the transition of how we're going to transition some of the existing clients into those new things. One of the main things that we're going to be working on over the next month and a half is launching this 12-week bootcamp program that we're in the process of fleshing out and planning to kick off mid to late June. I think kind of our target date is the 25th or 26th, whichever that Tuesday is of June, for the kind of the first training. And I want to get 20 people ideally into that program. And, you know, I talked a little bit about that this week in our mastermind, which I was on a hot seat for, as you know, which is a little bit of a rough session, but obviously a good one. You know, obviously getting challenged from the group as to like what the real next season of the business looks like for Systemly. But at the short end of it, kind of my learning, kind of as I kind of alluded to this in, I think, previous episodes, but I want to do everything that we can to become less of an agency and more productized. Obviously, there's tons of value in agencies and, you know, we could go and do all the customization and all that stuff, but the customization of things right now and how customized things can be is what's actually killing us. And I want to be more productized. I want it to be more process oriented and systems and procedures oriented. So, you know, that's kind of why we're making some of the changes that we're making. So more to come as we kind of dive into that. So I've spent some of my time this week actually going through other people's funnels to just do some research. I have a couple clients that are looking to get into Evergreen webinars, and I'm trying to kind of like recalibrate on like what I'm seeing work. So I've talked to a handful of people that we have, like existing clients that we have that are running automated webinars, as well as, you know, going through some other ones. One of which I went through is Amy Porterfield. You know, she's obviously known for her webinars, and went through her Evergreen experience. And it was really, really good. I took tons of screenshots and notes on things that I thought were really, really powerful so that we can share with our clients and also really leverage for ourselves when we get to that point. And then I also joined a webinar from our good buddy, Brian Harris, of Video Fruit. He was kind of taking you through five strategies that he leveraged in his most recent launch, which did like over $700,000 in revenue. And so that was an interesting webinar, and kind of then caught the tail end of a webinar by Sixth Division, you know, who's kind of in our space, kind of promoting one of their little programs that they have going on. Last night, I went to an event up in the foothills, a little bit beyond Boulder. So if people don't know the Denver area, a little bit northwest is Boulder, Colorado, kind of a big kind of startup area. And there's a group called the Baby Bathwater Institute. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
No. So a couple of our clients have gone to these like high level masterminds that are held by this group called the Baby Bathwater Institute. And I didn't know that the founders live in Boulder. And I actually know one of them through a mutual friend. And that mutual friend actually reached out to me saying like, hey, do you want to get together this week? We haven't talked in forever. I was like, yeah, totally. You know, do you want to do Thursday? And he's like, oh, actually I can't. I'm going to this dinner. And he's like, actually, you should come. And I was like, all right, well, like, what are the details? You know, you have to pay to go. There's like a big experience. You go up in these buses up into the foothills, like no cell phone reception at this cool, like little inn. There's a blues band, and there had to have been like 120 people there. It was a big group. They had two buses that took people up there, like this dirt road. Anyway, like a handful of our clients have gone to these, like they do intensive masterminds, high level, intense masterminds on like a 3-day trip. Actually, I think it's a 5-day trip to Utah up on Powder Mountain. And I've heard a bunch of people have nothing but amazing things to say about all of their experiences. And they were hosting this dinner. So I was like, all right, like, let me scope out what this thing is about. And it was really, really cool just to be around a couple of the people that I knew that were there, but really just kind of be around this group of really smart people and also have a fun kind of experience. You know, I was kind of saying to Sarah, my wife, like, you know, I don't get to work, be able to work from home. I love it because I can work from wherever I want, but like, it also prevents us from like, or me going out and, you know, kind of engaging with other like-minded people as frequently as I really would like to. So it was just kind of a good recalibration of, hey, like I need to be doing this more often with the right people, et cetera. So just really, really good time. And I actually really liked not having phone service. And apparently they do that, like they pick venues that where you won't have cell phone service on purpose, which I thought was really cool. So I definitely, it kind of reminded me of a tactic that Noah Kagan introduced called airplane mode. And he's like, he goes to coffee shops without his power cord and he puts his laptop in airplane mode and like just does like quality work as if he were on an airplane, because he usually gets work done on planes. So he kind of is like re-simulating that. So I actually just kind of think that I'm going to start like maybe on weekends, like sometimes just turning my freaking phone on airplane mode and like not dealing with anything. So I might give that a little try, assuming I'm with my wife, because I can't like miss phone calls from her or stuff. She'll get pissed. Then I actually just randomly, you know, we've both talked about how like we want to continue to like nurture our personal lists from our personal websites that like we've both in many times have failed to do. And like this podcast kind of came out of the content that we were originally sharing with those people. So I haven't really like known what to share with them outside of like just sending them the episodes. So what I started doing that is like a low commitment for me, but like I think can still drive value, is I'm kind of replicating Tim Ferriss's concept of the 5-bullet Friday. If you don't know about that, he basically sends an email out every Friday of kind of like 5 things that like either he's purchased or a book he's reading or something he's thinking about. And some of those things change each week. And Kevin Rose also does something like this, but on a monthly basis in his, I think he calls it like the journal. And it's kind of just like 5 quick hit things. And, you know, I feel like I'm kind of like I'm better when I am off the cuff and I have to freestyle a little bit. So I'm calling mine the Freestyle 5 Friday. And the last 2 Fridays, I've actually sent out an email. The first of the 2 was kind of introducing the concept and diving into some things. And then the last one I actually had scheduled while I was gone. And this week's just went out a few moments ago. So I'm going to keep doing that, kind of sharing key lessons I've learned from the week, kind of my biggest challenge. And again, these are going to change every single week, just kind of, but I'm taking note of it in an Evernote document so I can kind of keep track of, I'm like, oh, this will be good for, you know, the Freestyle 5. So really it's just an email that is quick hit of things that I'm learning each and every week or things that I'm thinking about. Software, like in this one I mentioned that like I'm really finding value in using Hubstaff so far for tracking the, you know, the team and everything since we've moved to that. So little things. So I kind of feel better now that I kind of have this concept I can latch onto that I can will allow me to keep nurturing that list in a low kind of commitment sort of way. So well, that'll be a fun thing to work on. But that's pretty much everything that kind of happened this week.
What about you? All right, man. Yeah. So LeadView software revenue is 23.4K MRR. So we actually went down a little bit this past week. Had a bad week of churn, unfortunately, with a couple of Rainmaker cancellations. The Rainmaker plans are $375 a month, so definitely made a dent there. But outside of that, my son graduated 5th grade and kind of started his summer. So I told him that he needed to start a business. And from birthday and Christmas gifts and everything, he saved up about $150. And I told him that his goal is to make that $300 by the end of the summer. So gave him some options like mowing yards and doing a lemonade stand, but we kind of settled on him flipping products. So he, you know, we're going to go to the thrift store and maybe even like scope out some garage sales to find some deals on different items and then try to turn around and sell those online. He started with kind of some low hanging fruit by taking a toy of his that he barely used and put that on eBay. So it'd be interesting to see, I think, just overall how well he does with it. And for me, just to see what his interest level is and, you know, excitement level is for it as he starts to make some money. So we'll see what happens there. Started reading The Snowball, which is an autobiography of Warren Buffett. I actually heard Rob Walling talk about it and then decided to check it out and just really glad that I did. I mean, it's over 700 pages.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a big one. But I've kind of started a routine where I'll read a chapter in the morning when I first wake up. It's like the first thing I do. And then I will read a chapter before going to bed at night. And so I'm actually hoping to continue this routine just from now on, just to make sure I'm reading every day. But yeah, I'm about 200 pages in. It's really, really interesting just to see, you know, how at an early age, he was always kind of fascinated by numbers. And, you know, like for his 10th birthday, his dad would take him to the East Coast and he wanted to go to the New York Stock Exchange, you know? And it's like, man, at 10 years old, that's pretty wild. But in any case, pretty cool little story there. So Luis Perez, who's a Zero to Scale listener, heard me talking about some of the UX issues we were having with the scheduling page a couple of weeks ago. I was bringing that up and just kind of my overall focus on onboarding and a user's first experience, and got an email from him with a link to a YouTube video of him walking through the website and the app and just leaving comments all throughout. And the video was like about an hour and a half long. And I was like blown away. I mean, it was like so insightful. I made so many notes, shared it with the team. You know, he actually did a whole write-up on it after. I mean, he easily spent, you know, a couple hours of his time doing this, and it was just very cool of him to do. Certainly valuable. I had the team, my co-founder and my junior developer, kind of watch it and provide some feedback. And I wanted to hear what they thought about it because I wanted them to see, you know, some of the issues. And they're like, man, oh, this is painful to watch, you know. So I think, you know, it's going to be something that we're able to act on and improve the product with. So pretty cool of them to do that. Got a proposal back from Founder Shield for all kinds of business insurance, but I think it's probably overkill for what we need. So still evaluating options
did
there.
Did you talk about this last week?
I did. Yeah.
What's, I don't even know what Founder Shield is. Like, why are you looking for business insurance?
Yeah, I think because we need it, you know, like the cyber insurance and there's just general liability. There's all kinds of little things that you're supposed to have in case you know, something wrong happens. But all of that came out to like $1,100 a month. And you know, I just feel like it's like I said, a little overkill for what we need. So I've got some people taking a look at that proposal. I'll probably respond to them as well with kind of that sentiment and see where it goes from there. But just an update there. From a product standpoint, we rolled out some long awaited integrations, one of which is Salesforce and the other is Outlook, Office 365 and IMAP, which now basically allows us to partner with, you know, just about anyone that sends email. So it's not just Google Apps, which was big. Outlook and Salesforce were by far the most requested features. So I think, you know, with those in place, we'll be able to really start to have more appeal into our target markets. Zapier. I'm not sure which one it is. I keep hearing both, but I'm assuming Zapier.
I think it's Zapier because they call them Zaps.
Zaps, yeah. So that integration is actually going to be coming next week, which is going to be pretty big actually for us because it's basically opening up our own API, and that's going to allow us to do some pretty cool things with future integrations. So excited for that one as well. Michael and Emily, our content writers, are just pumping out awesome content on a consistent basis now in a really good flow. We had two episodes go live for the Sales Manager Playbook, which was last Thursday and then this past Thursday. We had three blog posts go live on the blog this past week. So we're really in a good flow there. The goal is to have a minimum of three posts per week, and then we'll kind of be alternating every other week with four posts, just based on the kind of the workflow that Emily's bringing to the table on a part-time basis. But those 2 weeks where we only have three posts are actually going to be supplemented with posts from our new customer success manager, because we're going to ask this person to complete a couple of posts as well, maybe more like case study types, but that would allow us to have four posts consistently going per week. And then when Emily is full-time, the plan will actually be to have her have us go to five posts per week. So definitely going to be taking things up a notch there with the content game. Starting to see some benefits already. I mean, we haven't even really done much from a promotion standpoint with this content, but we were getting anywhere from 73 to 7,500 visits the last few months over the course of 30 days. And it just checked when I was putting these notes together and we had over 8,000 the past 30 days. And then a couple of days ago, we actually officially signed up for Buznami to do the content promotion. So I think that's going to just help even more. Excited to get that rolling. Speaking of which, Buznami really just officially began this week. So Buznami is the content done for you content promotion service that I'd had my agency launch I guess towards the beginning of April, I think it was. But it's been kind of on the back burner because it was on me to kind of get everything set up initially for the team to take over. And I just did not have time to do that. So started to roll out some cold emails, which led to a call with actually Sujan Patel of contentmarketer.io. And he was interested in, and that was kind of the first sales call, and he ended up signing up. So that was pretty cool for the team. So we've got LeadFuse and Sujan Patel on board. So we'll see what happens there. I think this week I kind of helped them finalize some of the processes and get all of that set up and work to do. So, you know, I think I'll be doing a couple more sales calls, and then my partner at the agency kind of will have a baseline model to follow, and then he'll be taking over from there. Mentioned Sixter at the top of the show. We updated our email signature campaign to include a link to Slice of Sales, which is the free weekly curated sales newsletter I've been putting together. So we'll see what happens there as far as starting to promote that a little more. As of this moment, I've had 605 applicants come through for this customer success manager position. That said, I'd already progressed enough with a few candidates that I just decided to ignore pretty much the last 100 or so that have come through. With those finalists that I did have, I held those like the kind of final round of interviews this past week, which I expected to take about an hour, and they did. So that worked out. And then from that, there's just like two really good candidates, and I wish I could hire them both. That said, I am probably planning on bringing both of them on at some point, but obviously right now I can only hire one to start with. And I keep going back and forth, and this is, it's tough, man. I mean, I really, really like both of them. So we'll see what happens. The plan is actually to make a decision on this later today, but I know we're actually going to be interviewing Lincoln Murphy, who's kind of the godfather of customer success. So I want to get that interview in actually first and kind of see if that helps clarify some things on maybe who I should hire. But in any case, you know, want to have that wrapped up this week. And then had just kind of overall, you know, with the customer success calls that I had with users, as well as obviously the interviews, I had a couple of calls with potential integration partners. And then I was doing reference checks on, you know, both of these candidates. So just spent a lot of time on calls and talking this week. So I'm kind of talked out. So that was also part of the inspiration of me just blocking off all of next week and, you know, just not doing any calls essentially. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it for my results. What are your plans for this upcoming week?
Yeah. So for plans, for starters, Pat Flynn is coming into town tomorrow for an event. That's tomorrow night. Obviously, this will have happened by the time this goes live. But Joel Kamm, who's a local kind of online entrepreneur, been around the game for a long time, has been running this event in Denver. This is going to be the third one. It's called Social Media Shenanigans. The first one, he had Chris Brogan come in, and forget, it was like Ted Rubin for the second one. And then now Pat's coming in. And obviously, Pat's a close friend, so I'm actually picking him up from the airport tomorrow morning. We'll be spending the day together, go get lunch, and probably work out before going to this thing tonight or tomorrow night. So it'll be fun to catch up with him. We've been texting back and forth the last couple of days. He's like in Utah speaking, so excited to have, you know, just go from this baby bathwater event till, you know, 2 days later, hanging out with another really close friend to catch up. As for work, I'm actually planning a trip to San Diego for a 2-day session with a client that's actually flying me out there in mid-June. I'm really kind of leveraging this as a kind of a trial experiment to potentially offer this as a high ticket item to other people, whether that's to existing clients or maybe include it in one of our plans in some way, shape or form. But I'd probably have them come to us instead of me going to them all the time. But yeah, I kind of excited. I've been already starting to put together some notes on like how I want to structure this 2-day session based on, you know, a quick call that I had with one of our clients already. So looking forward to that as a little bit of an experience. I'm actually going to piggyback that trip with meeting my dad in outside of LA to meet up with his father, which is going to fall on Father's Day, which will be cool. So going to do that first and then go to San Diego for this 2-day session before coming back to Denver. And actually that following week is when we're going to be kicking off the boot camp that I've been talking about. So June will be busy. I have a brainstorm scheduled with the team on Tuesday to discuss, you know, the details of how we're going to execute the boot camp as a team, as well as a few other things that we've been kind of mulling over. Right now, at the moment, we have 4 strategy sessions scheduled with clients, 2 sales calls, 2 potential partner calls or meetings, I'm getting interviewed for a podcast. I don't even know which one. I need to figure that out. And I plan on signing up for a proposal software like Proposable, which I've used in the past. And, you know, I know Brian from Audience Ops is like talks about using one as well for his clients. And it includes like digital signature. We can incorporate the terms of service and everything. And I want to be using that to better detail what's included in our service and what's not, and have them sign off on it and just kind of have it more templatized so I can actually have something outside of our, because everyone always asks, even though they look at our pricing plan page, like, hey, like, do you have more details on this? And I'm like, no, it's kind of right there, but you know, here are the terms. So I'm going to kind of make this a little bit more formalized since it is kind of a higher touch process at the moment anyway. So, but be trying to get that set up. I'm going to be really spending more time on flushing out the to-do items for the bootcamp. I kind of have like a rough list going, coming out of my meeting with Annie, my assistant, earlier this week, you know, getting things lined up, like putting together the slide templates so I can start making the slides for each of the weekly sessions. Cause kind of, as we're thinking of it right now, each week there'll be a training session and then a Q&A session. So I'll need essentially 12 weeks of slides kind of for each topic. And lastly, I decided kind of on your point, like how you talked about reading your book, my morning routine that like I, you know, was very strict with for a while, like has kind of loosely faded to some degree. Like I'm not doing all of the things that I was doing. I'm still doing some of them. And I just realized that, and actually kind of reinforced this yesterday on a call that I was having with John Lee Dumas during our mastermind, that was like, I've found that like, I'm starting to get a lot more of my major productivity done in the morning. And I mean, that was always kind of the case, but I was like kind of jamming my morning routine, like all of these things that I wanted to do before I started my day. And sometimes that like derailed me getting into the flow of this productivity. So I'm going to try over the next few weeks, modifying my kind of my routine and my daily schedule. And I've been already starting to structure this for next week being the first week where like I'm actually just diving right into content creation, because that's something that is going to become a lot more important for us. And I'm trying to map out, you know, a schedule so that I can look at, you know, what posts are going to be going live on specific dates, so that I'm like waking up knowing, you know, what I'm going to be writing about. So I'm going to try to have, you know, I already have a running list of stuff, but I'm going to actually kind of set dates and kind of put them in order and really focus mornings on content creation and planning. So yeah, I'm kind of excited to rejig that. And I want to then add the reading part as like a break in my day, like mid to late morning, like coming off the heels of like, hey, I just did all this stuff. I got a big piece of work done that I wanted to focus on. I'm going to kind of give myself 30 minutes to read, or maybe I'll do a chapter like you were doing. I usually try to finish the chapter. If I can't, if like I'm reading and I'm 30 minutes is up and I'm almost done with the chapter, I usually just finish it. So I want to continue to have the reading in there, but I just want to move kind of all of those things that I was doing in the morning to after I kind of knock out one of the first important things of the day. So that's pretty much what I got planned.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear how that works for you. I would find it, I think, a little difficult to kind of stop midday and just start reading, you know?
I know so many people that do it in the middle of the day, and I'm like, that sounds amazing. I've never tried it, so I have no idea. So this is going to be my attempt. It might be later in the day. It might not be. I might find, like, actually, the people that I have talked to about it, they're like, oh, usually around like 3 is when I just like kind of step back for a few, read, come back, see what's going on, and then, you know, start planning my day for tomorrow, which sounds great. I'm not sure if that's going to be, you know, able to be done, but I'm going to put it on my calendar. I'm going to block it off like it's a meeting and give it a shot.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I know for me, like I created a task in Asana for just read book, you know, it was literally a task and it's a daily task. And so I like the idea of just waking up and reading, and then I can immediately check off a task list. And, you know, I just feel like the day's started well. So yeah, I'd be curious. I'm always experimenting. So it'd be interesting to hear your feedback there.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, you kind of look at, I mean, you can apply this to a lot of things, but the second my routine stops, or like, why is like, I'm usually pretty good for a handful of months, and then, you know, one of them falls off or something. So usually that's kind of been a sign for me historically that like I need to mix it up or at least experiment with something new to see maybe why that was the case. Because, you know, if it's working, I don't see why what I would have stopped. So I want to kind of just flip the script for a minute and see if that kind of re-energizes me to kind of get back on the bandwagon for some of these things.
Like it.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. So I think, like I mentioned, I'm going to have my calendar blocked off next week. I want to finalize the training agenda and I want to work on the handbook as well, the employee handbook. So those are kind of the two big time-consuming tasks, I think. We want to just, as a company, just continue to publish content. And, you know, I'd like to have another three pieces go out next week. Need to figure out what we're going to do for health insurance and 401k. This was part of the job description. Most likely will be something that's not available until after 90 days. So, you know, I do have some time still to figure that out. But I just want to investigate a little more. Like I mentioned with the insurance before, there's just a ton of options and I don't know, you know, which would be best for our case. So I may end up just reaching out to Zenefits and trying to schedule a call with them. They're supposed to have 401k as well, but like I mentioned last week, they're doing some sort of renegotiation or something. So with their 401k provider. So kind of waiting on that. And then I want to organize our next weekly sprint and, you know, just I think overall though, get ready for the new customer success manager hire. So that's the plan.
I like it. And like you kind of alluded to, we have some good interviews coming up. You mentioned Lincoln Murphy, who's going to be going live in a couple weeks. But do you want to tell everybody who's going to be going live later this week?
Tucker Max. It's going to be an interesting one. We had a lot of fun with it, but I think it was really insightful just learning his whole new little side business that he has going. I don't even know it's a side business.
Yeah, it's definitely not a side business.
Yeah, it's so different than what Tucker Max is known for, you know? And so it was really interesting to hear just, you know, how knowledgeable he is on business and just his whole process. So I think that'll be pretty insightful.
Yeah, definitely excited for that. It's, you know, if you're doing productized service, this is high priced productized service. And he goes into all of the details, like more so than we ever even thought. He knows his own process super well. I think you guys will enjoy the show just as much as we enjoyed having the conversation with him. So as always, guys, you can tune in to everything we talked about in the show. Get all those links over at the show notes at zerotoscale.com/117. That's 117 for this episode. Again, we have these upcoming interviews. We want to hear what you guys have to say, and maybe some other people. We're starting to get more and more recommendations from the audience as to who we should talk to on the show, which is great to get all your feedback. So let us know. A great place to do so is in the Facebook group, zerotoscale.com/FB. And we will talk to you guys in that group up until the next episode. So you guys take care and talk soon. Thanks for joining us as we get one step closer to reaching our goals, but your journey doesn't have to stop now.
Visit zerotoscale.com/join and join us and other like-minded entrepreneurs that work together every day to improve and scale our businesses.
Learn more at zerotoscale.com/join.